Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 35, episode 4 of The Daily Zeitgeist for June 14th, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. You know I'm Jack O'Brien, you know, and the Zeitgeist has to answer right now just to tell you once again, who's Jack? That was courtesy of at Athena Micah, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
If they say Miles, Miles, just tell them that it's human nature, Miles Gray, why does he do it that way?
Thank you so much, Timothy Rosa Jr. at Timmy Badgered on Twitter. That's what we'll call it for that AKA. And again, guys, I'm really sorry for Jack's
all
behavior.
Right,
you know,
you know
we're
what?
Really trying to. And so here's a yah for y'all, or a yah, yah, or whatever you
man,
want. You
know what's your fan service? Get out of here.
Hey, man, Zeitgang, we're a family, baby.
We are to be joined in our third seat by a hilarious stand-up comic. Ishmael Lutfi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
What's up, man? Sorry you had to come in the middle of all this familial drama.
So funny.
And German screaming.
Yeah. And but you're welcome for the singing.
I take that as a slight to me because my grandfather in Japan, he was an expert in the philosophy of Goethe. So, you know, German is very important to me. So, you know, that's fine. Maybe it's fan service.
Goethe.
Oh, the philosopher?
Yes.
Oh.
Johann Wolfgang von Goethe.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Really?
And he, yo,
other
fact.
He's a philosophy professor?
You know, he had to go to Germany during World War II because he was one of the few Japanese people at the time who understood Germans very well from like an academic point of view.
That's interesting.
Because he was very into philosophy. Yeah, my grandfather was very trippy.
Yeah,
shout
man, maybe you should
Masada.
Be doing the intros then, you know?
Oh,
maybe,
wow.
Yeah.
Welcome to the passive aggressive zeitgeist, everyone.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, maybe, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe my
maybe your
be
name should be Jack O'Brien.
All right, we are going to get into the over-under with our guest. But first, we like to give a little preview of what we're going to be talking about. We are going to be covering America's newest holiday, Trump's birthday, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, maybe leaving the White House, and how they're going to be filling all these jobs that are opening up. We're going to be talking about the Inspector General report that claims Comey's fuck-ups were not politically motivated, but also contains a single text message exchange that will be motivating literally weeks of Fox News coverage going forward. We got our first look into the prison for wayward migrant children, and we're going to talk about Sessions' new policy that suggests domestic abuse and gang violence victims don't need to be protected. We're going to talk about the suit against the Trump Foundation, which nobody saw coming. We'll check in with Roseanne, explain why I'm starting to believe Collargate might have actually been Colangelo's wife, because women, am I right, guys? And we're going to check in with the World Cup. But first of all, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are as a human
just
being?
Just search something right now.
Yes. No, I had it. I had something. Chapter Ar-Rahman. There
okay.
you go. That's a chapter from the Holy Quran, Holy Book of Muslims.
Okay.
It is the month of Ramadan right
yeah.
now,
okay.
and I've been reading the book, reading the good
oh,
book.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
This is the earliest I've been awake in about 30 days right now.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because you sleep during
I just sleep
during
all
the day.
Day. Yep.
Yeah.
So that I can eat at night. It's
yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's cheating.
That's what like a lot of younger Muslims do, right? Or
yeah.
even like, especially, yeah, because I have a friend who grew up in Saudi Arabia who's like, no, we just sleep all day.
Everyone just sleeps all day.
And then
I mean,
eat at night.
I'm lucky I don't have a day job. I can just do nothing.
Yeah. I'm sorry we dragged you out. You know what I mean? I'm
no,
sorry.
Today's the last day.
Oh, that's right.
Today's
okay,
the last
yeah.
day of Ramadan. So it's kind of perfect. It's like, now I got to fast the whole day.
Oh, just,
yeah.
Yeah,
all right.
Exactly. So it works out.
Nice. Wait, what is it also referred to as Eid?
Yeah, Eid, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Eid. It sounds like Eid, which is
ooh,
purely a coincidence
cool.
also.
Right.
Yeah.
So you are fasting today, and then
yep.
that's it? You're good?
Then it's done. It's been
done,
30 days.
Baby. What are you going to eat
tonight?
Yeah.
I don't know. Breaking fast is always more of a letdown than you'd think. It's never
exciting. Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, just because your stomach shrinks, and then you eat, like, one thing. You're, like,
take
you're, like,
a bite?
You take a bite of a burrito, and then you're like, you're like done.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, right.
You're like done. And
yeah,
then
yeah, yeah.
You drink coffee and it's like over, kind of.
Mm.
Did you have like, as a kid, did it like really fuck with you? Like when you're going through puberty and need to eat like a fucking savage to grow your body? I just think about it in that context. Like at
yeah,
14,
man,
if I had to
so
fucking not eat, I would
have,
I don't know.
I don't know. I know. It was never a big deal for me. I was a very devout child.
Wow. Really?
I was just very into it.
Very
yeah, 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 yeah. I was
pious
like, this is the way to
you.
Do it. By the way, no water. Just for the record. Right. I want everyone to know, no water. I feel like a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
No water?
No water.
Jesus.
That's why a lot of athletes have problems.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that was a big thing with Olajuwon.
Yeah.
When the Rockets were the reigning NBA champs.
Sorry, Knicks fans.
Sometimes the playoffs and finals would go into Ramadan.
Yeah.
Wow, man, that is some devotion.
Very.
Back when I was still even serious about the Catholic faith when I was like a child, I like still couldn't stick to the like no meat on Fridays thing, which is
so
really
funny. So you escaped the guilt easily?
Yeah, yeah. I guess I wasn't that serious, clearly.
Well, because I have friends too that were Catholic and they fucking acted like literally stamped their ticket to hell.
You know, when like, they ate meat.
Yeah, when they're like, yeah. I think I should just get a filet of fish, man.
Yeah.
There's something about the Iraq war and the terrorism and everything that made Muslim kids way more religious.
Yeah.
I think because you had to pick a side in a weird way. So.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Which side did you pick, man?
Oh, dude, I don't want to talk about it.
What is something you think is overrated?
You know, I really considered whether to pick an easy thing or whether to pick a hard thing.
Well, go easy first and then let's
go hard. Easy first. Okay. I guess two movies. Easy was A Quiet Place. Overrated. Didn't like it.
Okay.
Didn't like it. I know it's a little... Is it too late to be saying that?
No.
I just heard someone yesterday say it was the best movie. It sucks. It wasn't that good.
They said it was the best movie?
Yeah. Somebody said it was great.
God damn.
Did you look at them quizzically?
I looked at them very quizzically.
Were you polite and were like, oh, okay.
No. I gave them hell.
Oh, good.
Because they said it was better than Hereditary. I'm like, die.
Wait, what?
All right,
so I haven't seen
either fucking movie, and I already know Hereditary is the GOAT scary movie of all time.
So good.
Okay, Hereditary is the one that I'm scared of.
Right, where just Toni Collette's contorted face that they use for every article about it. I'm just like, dude, I can't even handle looking at
it. So you saw Hereditary?
Yes.
All right, this is the second guest this week
who is
saying it's just
good,
terrifying.
So good because it's so horrific and terrifying, and the mood it puts you in. Because you're like, I've never been head fucked like that in a movie.
Sorta, but it's also just the imagery is like really stunning. It's like beautiful.
Oh,
and it's
no!
Cool. And it's such a, because the whole thing with horror is like doing the genre in a special way. It takes the whole possession trope and it really finds a new way to do it.
Oh,
it's
hell
like,
yeah!
It's beautiful.
I know what I'm doing. I'm drinking 3 Sprig sodas and going to watch Hereditary.
That is a bad idea.
Yo, shout out to Janine from Sprig for coming through with it. I'm about to put it to good use, Ma.
Bunch
I may
of
have
edibles
a,
and go.
I may have a panic attack
Exorcist.
At the AMC
right.
City Walk, but that could be for other reasons.
I
was dumped at that movie theater. As a young man. Anyway,
man, that sounds like a real.
I'm sorry. What was your heart overrated?
Black Panther.
Wow.
Oh,
okay.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Wow. Well, here, just say your piece,
for
man.
Everybody
here.
Just for everybody listening, I am not white, and I'm a part of a marginalized community.
I would like hearing that. Yeah, you're a white guy who converted to Islam.
They're out there, but they had to like Black Panther. I didn't like it. I thought it was just a fucking movie. I thought it was another superhero movie. It didn't feel special to me. I don't like superhero movies, and so that might make you go, oh, well, then you weren't going to like it. But that's not true. Because I also don't like action movies. And
so you just like horribly fucked up scary movies?
I just like horror movies, and I like movies that make you ponder and postulate.
And so to you, it's not that you didn't like it. You were underwhelmed?
I was very underwhelmed. And my point is that I don't like action, but I will like an occasional action movie. Like The Raid will make – that's a great action movie, and it's just great.
Well, that's just because – yeah. I mean, that's a fucking
just
solid.
Cool
solid
movie. Black Panther didn't do that for me. And
have you ever liked a superhero movie?
No, which is why I went into it excited
I
went into it like, this is going to be the movie that like I go, damn, that was a good superhero
movie.
Have
you ever liked a black person?
Hard no.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, well, then in that case, I can't really argue
no,
that.
No, and that's the other thing that annoys me is that it's like everybody has to like it too.
No one has to like it. I think people are too much. Well, I think Twitter will have you thinking that you have to like it. I don't think, I don't go around being like, how the fuck do you not like Black Panther? It's up to you.
People have gotten pretty mad.
Yes, people do, of course. But I think that doesn't mean that they are right for getting upset at you. You know what I mean? Mm. I think people don't know how to handle things if they're told like the thing that they love, not other people do. Look at every Kanye West fucking album.
Right.
You know, just that's part of fandom. I think with Black Panther, though, I think people who may be getting really upset is because it, for especially African-American people in this country,
it
felt like, oh, shit, like, we're having a moment here.
Sure.
And I think it's more about the moment than maybe the actual content of the film. But again,
I agree with that. It did represent something. But as a Muslim, and I've been doing a bit about this, within the first 15 minutes of Black Panther, there are Muslim terrorists
right.
that kidnap a bunch of girls. So I remember going into it like, cool, woke movie. And then immediately the movie's like, fuck you, Muslim. Like, why?
Right.
Why here are we the bad guys also?
Right.
So that was my...
I think that's an apt analysis.
It seems like your opinion might be that you just don't like superhero movies. Period.
That's what people say when I
stop trying to save him, Jack.
I'm not trying to save him.
If he's out here with his chest out saying you don't like Black Panther, that's his
thing. But you've never liked a superhero movie. You didn't like Black Panther. You've never liked a superhero movie.
Never liked a superhero. I liked the ending of The Last Avengers. I thought that was kind of cool.
What do you think about Blade?
I have not seen Blade. But you know, I should watch it.
I disagree with it in theory.
I like the idea of it. To me, it's an allegory about...
But the casting was way, in my opinion.
It's about being biracial to me.
All right. What is something that's underrated?
Two things. Panther. Survivor on CBS.
Ooh.
Best show ever. Yes.
Dude, I love that intro. Don't even watch the show anymore, dude, but I know the intro.
I just started watching it like 6 months ago.
Oh, you just started watching Survivor?
I just got into Survivor. Season 20, the All-Stars.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
Well, who are the All-Stars at this point? Are they from people just in the last 5 years or like rich?
I think
it's
from for everyone. Season 1, 2. So good. Best TV I've ever watched. I'm learning life lessons. I'm learning how to like...
You mean how to properly deceive people?
Yes, how to lie to people.
Yeah, how to make power moves.
How to make power moves. Finding hidden immunity idols. I'm doing it all.
It has a diehard like fan base. So my sister-in-law came in third one season on Survivor. She
what?
No way.
Yeah, on the season that they split everybody up by race.
Oh, uh-huh.
She was in the in the Asian race. No, she wasn't.
The Asian
she
race.
Becky Lee.
Becky.
Yeah, Becky's
my
sister-in-law.
Becky.
And
I know her well.
My wife went and was like the family member who visited.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Whoa.
She got shouted out on a little like Survivor fan board.
Oh, like, shit. Watch this. I get furiously trying to locate that
clip
now.
Yeah, yeah. But
man, the racial season.
Yeah. I know. It
what the fuck
was
that about?
A different time.
Who won that? Who eventually won that race war?
Can we I don't want to...
Spoiler alert.
Is a Asians won.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
Asians
right.
Asians
won.
Are the best race.
Face. How do black people do?
I forget.
After what I've said, I can't.
They were very athletic.
Third. Let's just say the merge happened kind of early because they were like, this does not look good.
Right.
That's a good thing when they have these race war type shows. I got two horses in the race simultaneously, so I can be like, oh, well, you know, I guess I'm claiming more Asian today.
Yeah. But Survivor, that was the one season I got really into, and it is good TV.
Great TV.
It really is. When it first came out, I was so intrigued by it because it was just sort of like, yo, they literally just have to survive without shit.
Yeah.
And once that wore off, I was a little bit less into it. But then you realize, I feel like every tabloid when the season would end would be like, just talking about the fuckery that happened like towards the end of the season of people just getting, you know, deceived and thrown under the bus or whatever.
That's something I missed out on.
Everybody believes they got a bad edit, I feel like, when we came out to the final, because the final was three people. It was still like up in the air whether she was going to win or not.
Uh-huh.
And so it was like out here, we stayed like in Hollywood. It was like, you know, big deal. This is actually where I asked their father if it was cool if I married his daughter. Out here right
and
before
like,
the
have, how many survivors
finale.
Have you won?
Exactly.
None.
But so we got later. To hang out Hilarious. With like all the, you know, people from that season, and there was a lot of scuttlebug about like, yeah, well, I got a bad edit.
Oh,
like,
that's how they talk the contestants.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was fucked in the edit.
I think everybody on reality TV believes
100%, because at that point you're at the will of the story producers, the producers, the editors, everybody who's just like, no. She needs to look angry so we can create this narrative.
Yeah, you got to create a narrative out of reality, which is not how reality works. So you are going to get bad at it.
What they don't realize is there's someone logging everything that's happening, putting into a book for the story producer to see the next day. Like, okay, well, overnight, this is what happened. These are possible ways you can take that.
Yeah.
Take that.
It's so interesting how I know it's good because I'm cynical, but I'm not cynical of Survivor. For some reason, I just believe all of it.
Yeah.
I'm like, everybody is just doing that.
Yeah. Self-preservation. Yeah. We out here surviving.
It's all real.
Yeah, once you start starving people, the truth comes out, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm all about that survivor body they get.
Dude, they do get hot.
Yeah,
they do get hot. finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
One thing, the way to pronounce the name Ahmed, this is something that's been bugging me forever that I feel like I can't say enough. There's no kha People okay. always say Ahmed as if they're like being extra like, oh no, let me pronounce it. Okay, right. Ahmed. It's like there's no ha in Ahmed. It's a ha. It's a ha. It's a ha.
Ahmed.
Ahmed. Yes.
Ah, there you go.
Very random thing to point out.
I think
it's
people.
But
yeah. I
that
think
bugs me, man. That's a myth.
Yeah.
There's no ha in Ahmed.
That's just the ignorance of the Western world, I think.
Yes. It's like,
but do you even hear people who would know better saying it like that?
No.
Yeah. So I mean, it's just ignorant
people. It's just ignorant people.
Like me.
Like mm-hmm. almost everybody, yeah.
Yeah.
No, me too.
Hence Ahmed.
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 There you go.
Mm. That right. feels better, actually. That's beautiful. More sensitive. It's gentle. It's delicate.
Yes. It's very Arabic's a very gentle language.
Yeah.
People think it's harsh. It's not. It's very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Well, I feel like I learned a lot.
Say something sweet to me in Arabic.
I mean, ahlan wa sahlan.
Oh.
It's gorgeous.
Ooh. Oh, shit.
It's beautiful.
What does that mean?
Zaddy?
That means death to Israel. But it's beautiful when you say it. It's gorgeous. The language. All the content is pretty brutal, but
but it sounds great.
It sounds great.
All right. We're going to get into the stories of the day. First of all, I just want to wish you guys all a happy Trump Day. In the conservative media, this is being treated as sort of a national holiday. The Drudge Report top headline is Trump's best birthday! Exclamation point. Economy, North Korea, World Cup, jobless 44-year low. And you
watchdog
know,
slaps Comey.
Yeah, watchdog slaps Comey, broke from FBI procedures. Third thing, no political bias. But moving on from that, FBI agent texted, we'll stop Trump from becoming president. So all true things, but about 30 headlines down, they do mention that he's been sued by the New York Attorney General. For running a scam charity, which, you know, would be the biggest story in the history of conservative media had it been about anyone like with the last name Clinton or Obama. Yeah. Literally anyone related to them or who sounds like they're related to them. But yeah, so happy birthday to our fearless godhead.
Fuck that guy.
What?
Mm. All right, fine. I love
Didn't
you.
Didn't you see that portrait of him at the entrance to the...
Oh, yeah, to the child prison?
Yeah.
That's tight.
The child prison Honestly. Has a literal, like, what you would see in a Church of Scientology to L. Ron Hubbard painting of Donald Trump with, like, a fucked up quote. We'll
I think on the Donald Trump subreddit, they tell everybody to just masturbate into a bag of Cheetos to
yes.
honor him.
So, yes, yes, yes.
Honor him in your own way.
So just some news out of the White House. There is a report that Sarah Huckabee Sanders may be leaving the White House.
And Raj Shah, too.
Yeah,
Who's Raj Shah?
Raj Shah is the other guy that comes out and has to take bullets when it's too hot for Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
When Sarah Huckabee Sanders is like having a nervous breakdown. Yeah, like one of her weekly nervous breakdowns.
I can't, Raj, go out there.
Yeah.
I literally lied to them. Yesterday, I can't go three lies in a row. But then she came out, or she tweeted basically something to the effect of like, oh, CBS News, oh, so you know me now?
Uh-huh.
You don't know me. You don't know what's going on.
Which is her general comportment when it comes to the media.
Hi, this is Truth. What's your comment? You don't know me.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Do you think she's going to stay on just to spite the media?
That would
be like,
so,
they lie.
And
see?
Let her fully rot from the inside out? Fine. Like, then that's the L you take. Because, you know, when she broke down a little bit trying to tell that young boy about how they were going to do stuff to prevent school shootings and she was getting emotional, that's when I was like, oh, shit. Like, someone's feeling human in some way. Hmm. So I guess it shows that some of the people who we thought were so concrete inside may be wearing down. But who knows? It could just literally be because she maybe got a better opportunity to, like, work at some, be a pundit somewhere.
Right.
Who knows? Who knows? Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to speculate whether or not she has a heart. I will speculate whether or not she's leaving. And I think she is.
Right.
Nobody should fucking hire her either.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, she's going to get a job in Fox. Right?
Yeah.
Immediately.
I mean,
with her dad
someone will take
care of,
like, the America One News Network.
Oof.
Yeah, I wonder, like, the way that we're talking about how we need to get reality celebrities to go to Trump to present all of our issues to him because he, like, will listen to Kim Kardashian or something. I think we need, like,
you could
children.
Have also said Kim Jong-un.
Right. All of the Kims.
That
oh,
would
maybe
have also,
that's just the name.
That would have tracked. Yeah.
But I feel like maybe we just need children to, like, ask her all the questions. Like, that might be just, like, break her down.
I guess it is. Do you find it hard? Well, I mean, your kids aren't really talking, like, where you have to lie to them yet. But do you ever think about lying to your kids and then it breaking you inside?
No. But, yeah, cool. It's mainly because they're still at a point where You don't really have to. They're not asking the hard questions.
Yeah,
the hardest question my son asked me is to take my earbuds out.
Oh, wow.
When I get in. Like, jeez. Right when I walk in, he's like, out.
Out.
Yeah.
Attention to me. Uh-huh. He's never like, what really happened at Cracked?
Yeah, exactly. nobody will ever know.
And you're like,
and so off of that, there's a report out that White House turnover is so bad, it's 51%. I'm not sure what that figure actually means, but they're beginning to post jobs at job fairs.
Yeah.
That's
fucking, that's bad.
No, that's crazy.
That is, as the more kind reporting of it says, highly unusual for a White House to try and court talent at a job fair, because typically these jobs are so in demand because they can launch your career in politics by working for an administration. Most people know what the fuck is going on, so they're like, nah, I'm good on that, bro.
Right.
So yeah, they have like things, like the flyers are really, really something else. It just says, interested in a job at the White House? Like, come to the executive branch job fair. Then it says something like, oh, there'll be representatives from across the Trump administration to meet job seekers of every experience level. And guess what? You could have your pick of literally any old fucking department you want to work in. It's like they're listing stuff like, do you want to work at the DOD, the defense, the interior, commerce, Homeland Security, Health and Human Services, NASA, Energy, the Treasury? I mean, do you want to fucking tape back together the documents that Donald Trump rips apart? It's just literally.
That is did we mention that that
I don't
is
think we mentioned that because
$70,000 a year job that somebody just left was taped. So Trump got in the habit when he was a, you know, killer baller businessman in the 80s. Once he was done reading a document, he would tear it up like, just to be a fucking dick. Yeah, done with this.
Fuck the trees.
And because he's now the president, you need those documents for posterity and for record keeping, so history knows how to judge you. So they literally have somebody whose job it was to tape his documents back together, and that person has since left. So,
all very normal. All very normal. This is all very normal. This is all very normal.
Jesus.
I mean, 51% turnover is a fucking bad number.
So what does that mean?
The Brookings Institute has been keeping track of like the turnover. So in this study, they're looking at sort of two metrics and contextualize the turnover. The first is they look at the turnover among senior ranking advisors in the executive office, which isn't cabinet secretaries. And then there's a second set that tracks turnovers in the cabinet. And I think just based off of that, you're seeing like roughly 50%. Suffice it to say that it blows out the turnover of every other administration.
Right.
Like it's wild.
It's another one of those things where, you know, we've dropped our expectations for this administration so much that this like doesn't really register. But when you compare this to other, you know, presidential administrations, if this was Obama, if this was Bush, if this was, you know, first Bush, Clinton, people would be losing their fucking minds about like something must be going on behind the scenes. But here it's just like, yeah, we know something's going on because fucking everything leaks to us and it's a fucking dumpster fire.
Yeah. And usually the higher turnover ends up like towards the end when people are like leaving the administration to take other jobs and things like that. And to have it this high up top. Right. You know, just shows you it's just a fucking toxic dump in there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Huh. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And yeah, so in honor of Donald Trump's birthday, the Inspector General released a report that will give him everything he needs to just, you know, keep spinning off on this idea that there is a vast conspiracy against him. This has been coming for a while. People knew it was coming. I think there was a lot of fear on the left that this was going to come out and say, yeah, these two agents were conspiring against him, because there were these like text exchanges that people that had leaked to the media that seemed to suggest that there were two, I think, FBI agents who were having an affair who were, you know, like the rest of the country, extremely worried that Donald Trump might become president. So the report does have an exchange that gave Sean Hannity a small orgasm. So Lisa Page.
Did you get sort of hung up thinking about him having a small orgasm?
So, oh, yeah. Yeah, that is what he would look like. So Lisa Page wrote, she's the, I guess, a FBI lawyer who was having an affair with a guy named Strzok.
I think they have been saying it's Strzok.
Okay.
But it's that fancy spelling.
Yeah, with a Z in the middle of it for no reason. She said, Trump's not ever going to become president, right? Right? And he texted back, no, no, he won't. We'll stop it. That's not good.
Well, also, good job stopping it, asshole.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So fuck off. I mean, that's the other thing. He's the president.
Yes.
So, sure. This sounds like a guy who, like, tells you he can get you a discount at Foot Locker. And it's like, so I really want, can you give me that discount? Oh, yeah, I got you. I got you.
Well, yeah. And
just pumping up his ego. I don't know if he, you know,
he's having an affair with her. Like, he
wasn't an affair. They're just in a relationship.
Oh, I thought it was an affair.
I feel like if you're in the FBI, it's an affair.
It's always an affair.
It's always an affair.
Yeah, but he's an agent, and she's one of the lawyers at the FBI.
Right.
She's not an agent, but yeah, they, you know, they're work texting. I look.
But no,
sure.
No, he won't. We'll stop it. Is such pumping up his ego, like, you know, I'm a serious FBI man.
Just me. Watch, Gerard Butler is gonna fucking play me in the Lifetime movie about this.
Right. Now, the overall conclusion from the Inspector General, you know, explicitly is that it was not politically motivated. All these fuck ups that happened that were consequential to the election, you know, and they call out Comey for his handling of the Clinton email investigation. They say they were not politically motivated. That's the overall conclusion. The Inspector General in 2003, George W. Bush chose him as a member of the Federal Sentencing Commission, and then he was appointed to his current role by Obama. So he's like, has credentials from both sides, but, you know, he was the guy who spearheaded the investigation into Fast and Furious, where people under the Obama administration were, like, smuggling guns and lost track of all those guns, and one of them was used to shoot a U.S. agent, I think. So he's come for people during a Democratic administration before. He's not just, like, an anti-Trump guy by any means. But I'm sure his credentials will be questioned, or at least his conclusion that there was no political motivation will be either questioned or just completely overshadowed by focusing on that.
Well, they'll scream about, oh, James Comey used his personal email. These other FBI agents use their personal email. Hillary used their personal email. Motherfucker, all y'all been using your personal emails too.
I mean, can they make a big deal about using personal email at this point? Trump uses his, like, fucking Gmail.
Yeah, and he's also, like, refuses to, like, go of his, like, personal phone.
Right.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, really? He hasn't gotten rid of his phone?
He has one, but they're like, yo, please use this other one. And he'll, like, he's just doing him.
Man.
You know, he cannot be told what to do. That's the same. He will not listen to people or really consult with people. It's the same reason why he saluted that North Korean general at the summit. Like, and North Koreans are loving that because they have a photo of him just straight up saluting this North Korean general. And they're like, you see the respect?
Because he's a maverick, Miles.
Right.
Respect our president.
I mean, that's a mistake. But usually they say, like, a military advisor would be like, he's going to salute you, but you don't salute him back.
Right.
That's at him showing you respect. You don't have to, you just don't salute him.
So it is a bad look.
I didn't even consider that.
Yeah. I think he's just a, guy in a uniform, got to salute back, got
to
be polite.
Yep.
That's exactly
and
what
to
I would
you,
do.
Sir?
Yeah.
And
yeah, if you feel
you.
Awkward, if you're not used to, you're like,
if somebody salutes me, I am going to salute back.
Yeah.
Even if I'm president.
Yeah.
Right.
Amazing.
So I don't know. This will be a big clusterfuck. It does not look good that text exchange happened. This is going to be the focus of conservative outrage for. Presumably decades.
Well, it's good timing because we just got our first look into that child immigration detention center.
Right.
And you need all the distractions you can get.
That's
because
true.
That is the most, I mean, my God, the fucking, so Jacob Sobroff, who's the homie, friend of the Zeit Gang, an MSNBC reporter. We used to work together. Shout out to Jacob. Shout out to the Valley Boys. He was part of the first group of journalists that were allowed into that detention facility in Brownsville, Texas, which is like that old Walmart that Jeff Merkley, the senator from Oregon, tried to get into, and they called the cops on him. Because like, oh, someone's trying to look what's going on in here.
Right.
Apparently.
So they kicked him out and did a bunch of cleaning up, I'm sure.
Did a lot of cleaning up, made a nice press packet, and then allowed journalists in. They were not allowed to record anything while they were in there. But based on like the thread that he tweeted immediately getting out, and then also as he was talking to other reporters over the last few days, the descriptions of this place are just like horrific. First of all, when they come in, the people that worked at the facility asked the journalists to smile more at the children because, quote, they feel like animals in a cage being looked at.
Ooh.
So they're like, hi, can you help make them feel more human? Because we've dehumanized them.
Right.
So please, can you counteract that with smiling?
Right.
No, maybe don't split them up from their parents. Mm-hmm. So, he noted one of the first things you walk in, there is a huge fucking mural of Donald Trump with the quote, "Sometimes losing a battle, you find a new way to win the war."
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like straight out of just some.
Did he say that?
I don't know. Who knows?
Huh.
It's a fucking disheartening thing to look at. And it feels like a straight up prison camp at this point. And granted, you know, he was very clear to say this is not, there are no jail cells or like, you know, metal fences or whatever. But let's be clear. These kids are being incarcerated. They have 22 hours a day inside, and they get 2 hours of outdoor time. They have 1 hour of structured time outside,
like
prison. And then an hour of free time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the time, they get to hang out on the inside of an old Walmart. Lucky. Everything is just like, you know, they have their little rec area, like in their really nicely shot package. They show kids playing PlayStation and playing pool or whatever. But, you know, they don't mention that, like, this place is nearly at capacity. I think each kid has about maybe 40 square feet of living space. And it's just, the problem is not going to end because of Jeff Sessions' shitty, shitty policy. Now, these facilities are being ran by this nonprofit. And we just saw in Newsweek put out a report that the CEO of this nonprofit, he makes over $700,000 a year, according to their most recent filings. I don't know why this man needs to make that much money.
From the nonprofit?
From this nonprofit. They operate, I think, 26 other facilities just like this. But one of the people working there said that these places are licensed. Like, they are licensed people to take care of children. Like, they understand what they have to do. But the newest thing that's being floated around is that the Trump administration is looking for literal fucking tent cities to build, like on bases, on military bases, to handle this just horrific practice of separating children from their parents. And in places like Texas or wherever, it's going to be very hot. And one of the people who worked for this nonprofit pointed out that those tent cities will not have to be licensed. Like, they won't, like, the caretakers there won't, they won't have to be a licensed company running those things. So
I just don't understand who this is for, because isn't Trump, like, whenever you show him like a child, doesn't he kind of care weirdly about kids? Like, I remember in Syria, the first time he did anything was because of the babies,
right?
And he's said that he's like for the Dreamers, kind of in a weird way. Like,
I think he half is, but also at the end of the day, doesn't really give a fuck. Like, I think he says it if it feels like it's an opportunity to look human or humane. Right.
But I don't think that would help him with his base, and he knows that.
Right, exactly.
So I feel like that must be coming from a real place, because if he just wanted to pander to his base, he'd be like, fuck him, you know.
Well,
like, I hate these kids.
We're looking at literal fucking prison camps for immigrants.
Yeah, and which is specifically for his base. I mean, the number one issue that his base ranks above economy and all that shit, or like, it's either first or second, is immigration,
right?
Which, and a lot of them live in places that have no immigration.
Yeah, of course. But it's weird, because you have people like Paul Ryan or even Hugh Hewitt asking, they're like, yeah, I don't know about this separating the kids. Like, why are we doing this? And it's meant to be as a countermeasure to dissuade people from wanting to enter illegally. But that's some straight up abuser shit of just like, well, I wouldn't have to fucking be so harsh if they weren't breaking the rules.
Right.
So that's what they get.
Yeah.
And that's fucking awful. It's inhumane. And again, I've read a lot of pieces on the internet. It's very true. Like, it's been this whole thing. Remember when Trump first started, like, we can't normalize any of this. We can't let this shit happen. We can't. Yeah. And we've slowly boiled the frog. And next thing you know, they're talking about, oh, we need tent cities for these immigrants. Oh, they're locked up in an old Walmart. And I know it's tough to everybody listening to this show and who is trying to stay aware of the news every day, that there is so much shit that will just crush your fucking soul. And sometimes you just, for your own sake, you're like, okay, hold, like, let me take a break from this. But that's a luxury we have, because we live in a place, most of us live in a place that we want to live in. And most of us are in a situation where we are not living in constant fear of our lives or the threat to our families. I know some people are, and my heart goes out to you, but I know a lot of people, especially in the Western world, or people who are living in the United States, elsewhere, that is a luxury for us to be able to be like, let me ignore this shit for a little bit. But this is bad. This is very bad. Like, I mean, this is when we really have to start
taking action. Worth your outrage.
Yeah, no, and we have to really stay on this, because the other side of it is just being like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
And we can't do that. Right. So please check out our footnotes, where we are going to have some links of things you can do. Really, the easiest shit you can do, just call your senator.
Yeah.
You can call the switchboard at the Senate, and you can just be like, let me talk to Joni Ernst, or let me talk to Jeff Merkley, let me talk to whoever your senator is. You can call 202-225-3121. 202-225-3121. Please, I know like everybody who listens to the show is a very empathetic person, is a nice, kind person. You don't listen to the show because you have a cold heart and you don't give a shit about humans who are trying to better their situations. Please call them, and to support or co-sponsor these certain pieces of legislation like the Keeping Families Together Act, the Protect Family Values at the Border Act, the Help Separated Children Act. There are many things that our representatives need to get behind because there's only so much we can do with our outrage. And we have to let people know who are at the levers that this really can't stand anymore. So yeah,
it's fucked.
Yeah, it's just terrible, man. And like, you know, most of us have parents who have immigrated to this country, and it was in a different situation where luckily there was a humane look at people trying to enter this country. And it's very heartbreaking to see, like, you know, you're reading stories. A father, this Honduran man, he hanged himself when he was separated from his family because the despair was just overwhelming. And yeah, this is a systematic dehumanization of these people. Yeah. And there's no regard. There's no regard for the humanity. It's disgusting.
So, I mean, one of the reasons people keep coming, even though, you know, this horrible shit is happening, is because of, you know, domestic abuse and gang violence in their home countries. And Naughty Elf Jefferson Beauregard Sessions has decided that those two types of violence, the ones that are kind of the most common ways for, you know, asylum seekers to be killed, are no longer justifiable reasons to grant asylum. So not only are they doing horrible things to people when they come across the border, separating them from their kids, but they're also making it easier for them to throw those people in jail and separate them from their kids.
Right.
So, yeah, The Daily had the New York Times podcast that is a worse version of this one, had an incredible... No, it's...
Sadly, that's a first-rate podcast. Yeah. Worse than ours, a second-rate podcast.
Exactly. Weirdly. But they had an incredible interview with a woman from a small African...
Burkina Faso.
And she came here because she was escaping a situation where her ex-husband was just abusing her, beating her, literally stabbing her. She went home back to her family, and he drove his truck through her bedroom and, like, mangled her leg, all this crazy shit. And when the police were called, they told her she needed to be better at obeying her husband. So, like, that is where she was coming from. She decided, okay, I can't live here anymore. This dude's definitely going to kill me. And, you know, under Obama, she was able to gain asylum. She now has, like, a normal life here in America. But were that to happen now, she's escaping domestic violence, domestic abuse. And, I mean, domestic abuse is not a fucking joke. It's,
no.
I feel like part of the reason that we underestimate or we're able to sweep some of the shit under the rug is because, you know, when we watch a CBS show, the murderer is always like some mysterious person that the victim didn't know. And that's not what happens. Like 90% of the time, people get killed by people they know, their husband, you know, their significant other. Mm-hmm. That is the shit that ends up killing you. So, I mean,
how domestic abuse is a precursor to so many other violent crimes, too.
Yeah.
This administration has clearly shown the administration does not value women at all. From whether it's embracing Rob Porter and his abuse scandal and shit, trying to defend him, and sort of, I think, the dwindling of, I don't think they've hired any female U.S. attorneys. There's a very distinct misogynistic anti-woman attitude in this administration. Oh, yeah. And now we're seeing it at this level, too. And we shouldn't be surprised because now Jeff Sessions is like, oh, domestic abuse? Nah, that's not really real to us here.
Right.
Or your reproductive rights or things like that. We're not here for that.
I mean, a lot of the problem that I have with conservative values is it's a lot of men thinking that, you know, women shouldn't be able to disobey their husbands type shit. And, you know, that ties directly into what we're talking about. It's almost like they're escaping to a world that is now run by people who believe the same shit as the police who are like, you need to obey your husband better. It's like, well, fuck, man. And we should not be run by sorts of values.
There are people who on Twitter, who are commenting on Jacob's thread on Twitter as he was sort of like live tweeting, but after the fact. And they're like, well, I mean, look at what the immigrant detention centers look like in Europe. I mean, this is a lot better. Mm. And that's not the point. We're not talking about the conditions that they're living in. Or, you know, they're like, well, Obama had these people in these places, too. This is not what we're talking about. This is specifically about the practice of breaking up families to cause as much emotional distress to them as a deterrent. And then who knows what kind of psychological effects is going to have on these kids, like from just being ripped away from their parents and be like, yeah, go chill in this old Walmart
right
for now, because you're escaping a situation that, oh, but P.S., gangs like MS-13 or 18th Street Gang, those are exports from the United
States. Right. We invented that.
Yeah. That this country, and then exported that back to their home countries. So it seems so easy to just be like, yo, let's have a heart. But we are looking at an administration that there's levels to humanity to them. There's not one human race. There's Americans, white men at the very top, then trickle on down based on your melanin count.
Yeah.
Do you think this is just because of the base also? Like this kind of shit?
I think
is
Sessions,
all to please the base. Jeff Sessions doing that, like,
well, no, Jeff Sessions, genuinely is a racist who believes that, you know, he thinks these people deserve to be treated as less than human. I think deep down, and you know, he's just a bad human being who comes from, you know, just horrible backwards motives. But I also think it doesn't hurt, you know, that I think putting Sessions in charge of, you know, of the judicial system was for the base.
Yeah.
For sure.
But I wonder how many Trump supporters could watch if they saw live, uncut with their eyes, a mother breastfeeding their baby and then someone trying to take the child away or whatever. And then the woman using her motherly instincts will not allow this to happen, trying to fight them, and then them having to handcuff this woman if they go, yep.
Yeah,
I'm cool with that. Yeah. I don't think you could. And I think it's easier for people on the base to actually avoid just what the humanity of this all. Yeah. Because you watch, you know, selectively, Fox News is going to just show you what they need to for you to not get too pissed off about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Super producer Nick Stumpf just pointed out in our earphones that we're actually seeing part of Trump's base, the evangelical Christian community, starting to, for once, be like, wait a second, we're on board with everything, but tearing families apart is not cool.
Pence gave a speech to a group of Baptists, I think yesterday, and they were not feeling, they pulled up for the immigrants over there. They were definitely very clear that they were on the side of these immigrants and that they say any form of nativism, mistreatment, or exploitation is inconsistent with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what? I'm glad that that's happening, because for a long time I was wondering when these quote-unquote Christians would actually find the word of God and apply that to what's happening here. Because I know my family, on my dad's side, everyone's Christian. I went to Lutheran schools and Catholic schools, and I know good Christian people who actually listen to the actual teachings of the Bible, which is about having empathy and taking care of the weak and having gratitude for what you have and being able to share that with those that do not. And so it's refreshing to see that, but we need, I think more people really need to come to grips with the reality of what's happening.
Still one of the most powerful organizations in the evangelical community is Liberty University, run by Jerry Falwell Jr., who is just a total Trump, you know, dick rider. So in other better news, the New York Attorney General, and this is, by the way, like the 30th story on Drudge and, you know, mostly being ignored by the conservative media. The New York Attorney General is investigating the Trump Foundation, or was investigating the Trump Foundation since back in 2016, and are now filing a suit against them, basically suing the Trump Foundation, which is run by the president and his idiot children. And
Tiffany's the only one that got off scot-free, though, huh?
Yeah, because
Tiffany's great.
Because he doesn't even consider her a child.
Right, exactly. She's going to be the only one that gets away because he has completely ignored her for the most part. She was actually on Instagram, like, playing a Cards Against Humanity style game that is just full of insults to against her father, called Trumped Up. So shout out to Tiffany Trump.
No way.
Yeah.
She's so cool.
Right?
I guess. We'll see.
Love Tiffany.
But basically, they've just done all sorts of shady shit with this charity, quote unquote. The last recorded donation from Trump to his foundation, which is what the foundation is supposed to be for, was actually in 2008. Since that time, he has been basically getting people to give charitable donations through him to other charities
I know,
and taking credit
so
for it.
Scummy. He will go to another nonprofit and be like, hey, I'm putting some money together to give to this police foundation. And they'll be like, okay, what's the check?
Right.
150,000. He gets the check, puts it in his foundation, and then cuts the check to the charity from the Trump Foundation. Like,
right.
Yo, you just re-gifted that shit,
right,
my guy. That's literally what you did.
Damn.
Yep.
Re-gifted that. So yeah, I mean, good. I'm glad, you know, someone is, you know, clearly has their eye on this, but I guess they must have had to really build this case.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to go be like, yo, we need to start paying some restitution. And also make sure that none of you ever sit on the board of a nonprofit ever again.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Just a drop in the bucket.
Is that going to have any impact on anything?
Probably not. This isn't like a criminal suit, right? It's a civil suit.
Right.
But I think it would
break up the foundation. It would make sure no one else could really work for. Yeah. It's going to cause some problems. But is this like, anything of real substance that will stop the horrific things in the world? Probably not.
I mean, I think some of this relates to the Emoluments Clause, and that is impeachable. And I think one of the things that is being evaluated is whether there was campaign finance violations, which are felonies. So I think this could eventually relate back to criminal cases. So, you know, there's always a chance that this might do something other than, you know, be the 3,000th entity to sue Donald Trump. But yeah, one of my favorite details from the suit is that he used the foundation money to pay for advertisements for his hotels and multiple portraits of himself. That detail
because like he would use the foundation to like bid on a painting of him,
right,
and then buy that,
right?
That's tight.
Insane.
Good for you, scam lord.
Right.
Do any of you own Trump, like any kind of Trump paraphernalia?
Oh, yeah. I'm a member at Mar-a-Lago. Foundation member at Mar-a-Lago. No, I don't.
I only say that because I've been to a bunch of liberal friends of mine's houses that have like kind of ironic Trump thing. Like Trump on the toilet. A little bit. But that makes me feel uncomfortable.
I have a Trump portrait in my 2-year-old's room with a war quote underneath it.
Yeah.
But, that's just American.
You have that actually on the ceiling. So when he's sleeping, he looks up at it.
That's so crazy.
No, I would never. No, fuck that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even think he's ironically, fun.
You know, because he would see that and he would like it. He'd be like, good. Yeah, I am funny.
Oh, cool.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, wipe your ass with my face.
Exactly.
Oh, God. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back, and we wanted to check in with our good friend Roseanne Barr, I believe is your last name.
Roseanne Bard from TV.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she is trying really hard, I guess, to try and resurrect her career or save what is left of it. But I don't know how much you can save from a pile of burning embers of racist trash, but we'll see. So last night she got on the Twitter and did a few things to try and do some PR spin for the fallout for her racist bullshit on Twitter. First, she was insisting that the Planet of the Apes thing was actually about the Iran deal. So all good, no worries. That was never about racism. It was about anti-Semitism. How the Iran deal was racist towards Israel.
Uh-huh.
So that's why so I don't know. I don't know what the fuck that was supposed to mean, but she was really trying to pivot on that. And then
she found a black friend.
Yeah, well, she was then telling people, she was like, yo, check out this. This sounds like a fucking joke.
Right.
But she straight up tweeted, one, I want you all to know I'm fine. I've been using this time to reflect and to gain insight. When I say two, I mean she's literally putting the number two in, okay? Mm-hmm. Gain insight on what I said and how it was misunderstood. Okay, I'm sorry. What I said and how it was misunderstood? No, you misunderstand society.
Right.
My lady.
Right.
Okay, needless to say, I'm not what people have accused me of. I've never practiced racism in my life and never will. Practice?
Yeah.
You're talking about practice? I'm in the game of racism.
I don't need to practice that shit. Yeah.
Shut the fuck up, Roseanne. Okay, and then next, it says, meantime, I've been watching this new doc called Malcolm X, an overwhelming influence on the Black Power movement, directed by my dear friend, Thomas Muhammad, my campaign manager in 2012, who called me immediately when my show was canceled. Then she puts a Vimeo link, but I guess it's password protected, so then she gave you the password to the Vimeo link? Come on. And then she says, if you have any questions for me, direct them to Mr. Muhammad, please. Be sure to watch his brilliant movie. Thomas Muhammad has agreed to speak for me as he knows the work I have done in civil rights against racism all my life, all caps, and understands my tweet was about Iran's regime, not race. The website is bbunity.com. And then finishes it up with, much love to you all. Thanks for helping me. It worked. Also, listen to Kanye West's new album about mental illness. It's the greatest thing ever.
I think
I believe her.
Yeah.
She said she got a black friend who made a Malcolm X movie, so he's not some regular old dude. He's a real black guy.
Did you see his Twitter avatar?
His Twitter avatar. So I did a little sleuthing because I was trying to be like, where is Thomas Muhammad going to be speaking on her behalf?
Right.
Because I looked for a website. What website I could find was very vague. The website for his movie, it's just about the movie, and he's really just like, hey, you want to pay me to come screen this at your school and then I'll talk about it? The trailer is really poorly put together. I'm a little bummed out. But yeah, if you need proof that he's a straight up brother man, he's on the beach putting up his Black Power fist in a very grainy photo. And his Twitter has not really been active for a few years. I'm not sure what is going on. But again, if your defense against accusations of racism is, I have a black friend who will tell you I'm not racist.
Right, who will speak on my behalf.
You already lost the game, huh?
I mean, come on.
Okay, see, this is probably bad for me at this point, but I feel like Roseanne kind of got shafted a little bit.
What do you mean?
It was so fast. That's my only concern. I was asleep. And I got a thing on my phone. It said Roseanne in trouble, and I was like, whatever. And then by the time I woke up, the show was gone. It was like canceled. ABC cancels it.
So what is it about too fast?
It felt like I didn't have, and nobody had any time to process any of what was going on.
Well, what do you need to process if she's out here straight up comparing women of color to Planet of the Apes and saying, oh, you're the Muslim Brotherhood plus
right,
Planet of the Apes?
Right. I know. Of course, it is insane that she would say that. It's fucked up. But I feel like she should have had time to make excuses and apologize and be like, I'm sorry. And then I just felt like as a consumer, I've never watched her show. I would probably hate it. I don't like anything, but I just feel like people should be allowed to be like fucking wrong sometimes. Though I know there's probably a million super racist tweets
for years.
Yeah. But
I don't know. She
deals in very dangerous racist conspiracy theories and just peddles just really damaging ideas. And her rhetoric is the exact opposite of how a civilized person would behave. So I guess if you were normally civilized, yes, then maybe we could give you time to explain yourself because you have a track record of being civilized.
Right.
She has a track record of being racist, xenophobic, and Islamophobic. So already people were like, how the fuck did she get a show?
Right.
You know?
Well, I mean, because there's a big portion of the population that probably doesn't know that about her. That doesn't know that she's fucked up.
Yeah, well, I don't think you get a shot to explain yourself. You already
have gotten shots before. People get shots. It feels like my only concern is that it's the kind of thing that's going to inflame the right in a way.
Yeah,
it's
but fuck
unnecessarily.
That.
We don't need to make them mad about their show getting canceled.
Yeah,
DC.
But who gives a shit? I'm not worried about people. I'm not worried about people who have no empathy.
Right.
Sure.
Why should I have empathy?
Right.
They don't exercise that in any way.
Somebody's got to have empathy for somebody. This is a country. We all live together.
Yeah, well, I do. I have it for these fucking immigrants who are getting split up at the border. I don't have time to worry about some motherfucker who's worried because their racist fantasy show was taken off the air. I don't have time for that.
Sure,
you know what I mean?
Sure,
and that's
sure.
And I guess that's where I have to think about where my energy is. And I don't mean to get all, pumped up about it.
No.
But
no,
I
know I'm on the wrong side of that one.
No, it's not that you're on the wrong side. I get that you feel that if we're going to exercise this kind of justice or whatever, that maybe there's a way to do it.
Yeah.
But I think some offenses are too egregious that you extend somebody that kind of understanding, especially when you are on a show that is this big. And, that only normalizes her talking like that.
Yeah.
And that's
sure.
That's where I'm like, nah, you can't.
Which is, that's why I think there should have been a little bit more time just to, and then let it get canceled the next day or something. But to me, it felt like if I was a supporter of Roseanne and liked the show, and then just within 4 hours it was gone, it would seem like some liberal media bias.
For the purpose of appearances, it was fast.
Yes. All I'm saying is Louis C.K. said some fucked up stuff. And he had the biggest show on FX for a while. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he was like, nobody cared. Nobody cared at all.
Right.
Right.
It just seems like a, I don't know.
Well, we're slowly.
I agree, you know, of course, she's crazy.
Yeah. Trump has created a world where now we are extra hyper aware of this kind of shit because it's brought out the worst in other people.
Right.
Yeah.
And now we're combating a world where people are emboldened by this president to say hateful shit like that and try and make that, you know, the normal day-to-day discourse in this country. Yeah. And I think some of us do not see how dangerous that is.
Sure.
And don't have time for it.
Yeah. And I generally am somewhat skeptical of like mob justice online, like, but this is just, people have been pointing out that she's been, you know, just saying awful, indefensible things for many, many years. And
that's the real thing for her, I guess, at the end of the day, is that she's been consistently like this. I don't know. I have a soft spot for Roseanne.
Yeah, but she, I'm going to tell you something. She don't have a soft spot for you. As a Muslim.
Hold on. Malcolm X, one of the episodes of Roseanne.
The episode of TV.
She was racist against her Muslim neighbor, but then turned out he was a good one.
Right.
And she liked him.
And she was saying, I'm afraid of you.
Right.
You shouldn't be afraid of me. I'm afraid of you.
Right, right.
Whatever.
So
we all out here human.
Uh-huh.
And most of us are trying to treat each other with respect.
Yeah.
True.
Fucking this administration makes like smart points like don't apply anymore because of just how bad everything is. Hey, the World Cup is happening.
I know we had a fucking energetic show.
Right.
I'm hyped up and it's not because the AC's off and I'm sweating like a madman. But yeah, the World Cup kicked off today in a showpiece match with Russia versus Saudi Arabia in a battle of whose team fears their leader more. And it was wild watching Putin and Mohammed bin Salman being like, yeah, boy, like
really
like dapping like, each other up. Yeah. And then like Putin be like, hey, I don't know, bro. Y'all suck. Because Russia won 5-0. And I'm going to chalk that up to Ramadan.
Oh, completely.
You know what I mean? Because these were the two lowest ranked teams going into this. So it wasn't going to be like a barn burner. But yeah, there was a 5-0 was a score. And I'm very disappointed at the commentary on Fox already. It's just so aggressively American now. And like they got rid of like a lot of like the real actual commentators from England who knew the sport.
Right.
And now it just sounds like they're like, oh, I mean, the pressure, man. He just smashed that near post. And you're like, oh, God. Like, please talk a little more about tactics or like something a little bit more than like, oh, he went for a cool move there and like was talking about an elastico flip, which if you like soccer, that's like Ronaldinho's signature move, the flip flap. Anyway, I was just like very checked out. So I'm probably going to go switch to the Univision feed.
The decision to have the main commentators be Joe Rogan and Hulk Hogan is really weird.
Dude, Rogan Hogue. Rogan Hogue at the World Cup. And the other thing, too, is they have a lot of the commentary teams broadcasting from L.A., watching a feed and then doing their commentary from L.A. in a
really
studio.
Gets that energy
That's
up.
So like, stupid.
That is a violation of the rules of sport.
Right.
The commentator should be in the venue because half the fun is them trying to speak over the crowd.
Right.
And like when goals are scored, they have to get loud too because it's just, I don't know. Like,
right.
I'm still, you know, I'm going to watch.
America, we're having a tough time with soccer.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. And then
consuming it.
Then there was like a commercial for MLS where it's like our soccer. And like Miguel, like the singer, isn't it? And I was like, okay, I guess Miguel is an ambassador for soccer now.
Weird.
It's just an odd look. But, you know, he's an LA boy. So shout out to you.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode. We're going to try something new out as we go out. We're going to tell you about some of our favorite tweets. I was realizing that the when we give out our Twitter handles gets a little rote. So we are, as we do that, going to tell you about some of our favorite tweets or pieces of media that we came across in the past day. And, you know, we like to start out with our guest, Ishmael, it's been a goddamn pleasure having you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Where can people find you, follow you? What do you have coming up? And what is your favorite tweet of the past?
You can find me at Ismailian, Ismaelian, on Twitter. And
it's like ATLians.
Yes, exactly.
I love it.
I love Atlanta. And
what about Instagram?
Instagram, Ismail Y. Lutfi. So just if you type in Ismail Y, it'll be the first thing.
Lutfi.
Yes, exactly.
Now plug some.
Tomorrow on ComedyCentral.com, I have a web series coming out.
Oh, dope.
Hey, hey.
I have a short digital series, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. 3 episodes, 3 to 5 minutes long each. They're about a fellow trying to keep up with his New Year's resolutions, and then it fast forwards 6 months later.
Nice.
To June when he...
I like the way you described it as if you were selling like 3 episodes, 3 to 5 minutes.
you... Well, 1 episode is 3, 1 is 4, 1 is 5.
Oh, okay. I was so making like, sure weirdly... like each one you're like, we'll see what they say. I heard it's going
to
be 3 to 5.
We'll see how it turns out. I actually had nothing to do with it.
Right. Dude, shout out to Comedy Central. They're doing some cool digital
shit. Yeah, they got Jamie Loftus doing some shit over there. They got one. Ishmael doing some... This series, this young man.
I've been called that before.
Which one? This one?
Yeah.
Hey, come with me, man. So what's the now? Hook us up with a fire tweet.
Let me get you a funny tweet. Okay, so here, I guess it's kind of a sad one, but
hey, that matches anyway, this show. This has been our saddest show to date.
Yeah, wonderful. This has been some heavy shit. Anyway, so it's from Roseanne. No, it's a subtweet. CNN. This is from 4 days ago. This is sad. Sorry, but tonight in a special tribute, we remember and share the legacy of chef, storyteller, and colleague Anthony Bourdain. And then it says, "Remembering Anthony Bourdain." It's a subtweet, and it's my boy Ahmed Weinberg tweeted, "Wait, so you just had a documentary called Remembering Anthony Bourdain lying around?"
Jesus Christ.
Oh. Like they were just waiting to throw that out there the day of. Right.
Yeah. That is crazy. Wait, they had that the day of?
I think it might have been the next day, but it was fast turnaround on this fucking documentary remembering this guy everyone loved.
Wow. Miles, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also, shout out to Alan at Nike. Shout out to Janine at Sprig. Shout out to Goethe, who wouldn't have called himself a philosopher. I have to say that because he was really real particular about that label. Anyway, the tweet that I wanted to shout out is a tweet, I guess, more about a video, because Zach Galifianakis put out a new Between Two Ferns today with Jerry Seinfeld and Cardi B, and it is ridiculous and it's hilarious. And if you fuck with the Between Two Ferns video series, you're gonna like this. It's on Funny or Die's Twitter, and also just out there on the internet. But I prefer to send people maybe some video because I'm a video guy. Watch that and enjoy that.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. And I want to shout out a tweet that was retweeted at me from Jack Kevorkian, and I think it was originally from @PitchJokes, because we've been talking about how whack LaCroix is. @PitchJokes wrote, "New LaCroix flavors. Transported in a truck near bananas. Hint of lime. Single Skittle dissolved in water. Shy watermelon. Imagine like a strawberry, but with low battery."
A lot of people hit us up with that.
Yeah.
I think I got High Risk Pregnancy hit me up with that. Tron 0905. Feel like Homegirl Casey hit me with that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people coming through.
That's a great tweet. Great tweet. And we are going to bring in super producer Anna Hosnier, who is going to tell you one of her favorite tweets.
I just want to let you know my all-time favorite tweet tweeted by Andy Kindler in 2010.
Hell yeah. Oh, you are all-time?
Yes.
Wow, would have loved the format. Okay.
He tweeted, "I think, therefore, am I right, ladies?" And that's how you do it, baby.
And that's how you
do it. Oh, by the way, my show is called Resolutions.
Oh.
I left that out. It's called Resolutions.
You know, if I was a better host, I would be like, "Hey, man, what's the name of your show?" But I am bad at my job. All right. You can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information in today's episode, as well as the song that we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
Oh, shit. Man, I was so caught up in feeling down about everything that I almost forgot a song. Okay, so this one is from Jameson, who's like a producer, performer, kind of funky R&B guy. This song's called So Badly. And again, it's kind of like in that Conan Moccasin vibe, just a little vibey tune, just to decompress a little bit. Because, you know, the weekend's almost here. And guys, please, a shout out to Jose Antonio Reyes on Twitter, who's also sending us some resources for people, how they can get involved with these kids, and many other people on Twitter who sent all kinds of resources. Please check those in the footnotes, because we can't just sit on our hands, I can.
Yep. All right. We're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then.
night is young and I'm overcome with these feelings. As I lay on the bed and watch you get dressed, with my hands behind my head, I start to wonder, do I really have what it takes to get you off? Cause you got some real sex appeal, and I'm not a man of steel. And the way you put on that suede pussycat makes me think you know exactly how I feel. So what's the deal? Am I not what you want? Did my past take all the confidence I once had? Cause you keep saying it's you and you got a lot on your mind, but that don't help. I still blame myself. Now listen.
Days that seem so long, living without you. Everything's so
journey to stars.